Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September the 6th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We're live here at 12:04 Monday through Friday on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show so you can listen at your desk or wherever at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a portion of the program, you can hear it on our podcast. Usually that's available within about an hour of the conclusion of the program. Right now, our podcast partners, along with BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonCitizen.com, and TucsonSentinel.com, have the program available. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson's mayor is with us in studio, Jonathan Rothschild. Joining me to question the mayor, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for us, the Buckmaster Show live line declared officially open right now at 790-2040, or we invite you and or invite you to be a part of our Facebook growing number of friends. We're easy to find on Facebook. Just my name, Bill Buckmaster, well, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Mr. Mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, thanks for being with us.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Sarah Garrett Gasson, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I will publicly say thank you very much for holding down the fort, hosting one of the shows last week while I was enjoying a week up in the lovely Canadian Rockies.
Well, I'm happy to do it anytime.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, this afternoon, is it 4 o'clock, the ceremony downtown?
4 o'clock this afternoon at the new holding station.
For the SunLink streetcar, this is the first car to arrive in Tucson so people can check it out.
They can. It's a milestone for us, and I think people have a right to be happy. But I want to let everybody know that, you know, we still have a ways to go. We have 7 more cars that we need to get. We need to have them come on schedule. We have to have this thing up and running by next July, when I say we have to, so that we can have it ready for the school year, because it has a lot of students that are going to be riding it back and forth. And so what people are going to see over the next year, I need to tell people as often as I can, is you're going to see this streetcar running, but you're not going to be able to get on it. It has to go through federal testing requirements and the like. But our first car is here. I think as it gets on the tracks and it's running, everything should get easier. And we're going to go and talk about how it can really help our city.
And a quick question about the naysayers who still have not bought into the concept. I mean, they can either get on board, I guess, at this point. There's not a lot they can do about it's here. It's a reality. But in a sentence or two, why should these people get on board?
Well, I was thinking about my remarks for later today. And, you know, I've been here my whole life, and I'm thinking about downtown. And it has literally been 45 years since Steinfeld's, Hockney's, and Levy's were downtown that we had a vibrant downtown. You go downtown today, and everybody who does loves it, with the restaurants and with the new people living down there and with some of the new offices coming in. And there's a ways to go. Mm-hmm. But it's exciting for the first time since I was literally in junior high school, and I'm getting older. And there's a
So you remember the pre-Elkhorn Mall
days. I do. Downtown. I remember when Steinfeld's moved out to Elkhorn, mm-hmm. or Levy's. And the streetcar has a lot to do with that revival. It really does. And since the announcement of it and the idea that it was going to be a reality, since people start breaking ground, there has been close to $900 million of investment, both private and public, in just the route. And it's a 2.9-mile route linking the university to 4th Avenue, to downtown, to the west side. And as you start seeing some of the accolades the city is beginning to get. Just in the last couple of weeks, one of the top cities in the country for people in their 20s to live. One of the top 5 communities in the United States for young entrepreneurs. A great outside community. The streetcar's helping to drive that. And we're going to have to work to make it work right economically, but we can't forget how it really is going to change our community.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star.
With the streetcar getting having its sort of coming out party tonight, do the other seven cars, will they get parties too, or is this just...
I don't think so, Sarah. I don't think so. I think this is it. I think what staff is saying and the reason they want to celebrate is they really do want to give people an opportunity to see what this thing looks like. And I have not seen it yet myself. Today when I go there at 4 o'clock will be the first time. Everybody tells me it is impressive. It is a first-class product, and it needs to be. So
made in the USA.
Made in the USA. And you know what? That's important. And people forget. They sometimes, you know, the naysayers, oh, the money. Well, that was money that came into our community for construction jobs and for materials and supplies that were bought locally. At a time in our economy in this country, it helped get us through that rough time. And that's something that we shouldn't forget either.
One of the things I've noticed on my trips downtown is that the character of downtown really has changed, and it's only going to get, I think, more dynamic. But a lot of it is the students, U of A students, and that's not that to me seems kind of struck me more like Mill Avenue, ASU, the dreaded ASU, and so it's a different kind of vibe, a different downtown than a lot of longtime Tucsonans are used to. Are you getting any sort of feedback about, yeah, it's all rich students with, you know, drunk people, blah, 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 blah?
I am getting
bar hopping people.
Yes.
No, I am getting a little of that. And let me give you a couple examples. First of all, when you look at the models of how cities have revived their downtowns, they often start with student housing, and then you move to market rate housing. And we're seeing some of that. One East Broadway has a market rate component to it. The old Martin Luther King building, which has now been converted to market rate housing. So we're going to start to see market rate housing. And as that is successful, we'll see more. But it is different than the old downtown that I remember as a child. And will be different. And one of the differences and one of the things we get complaints about is, oh, I can't park in front of my store anymore. And that's true. And I have to pay for parking. And that will be true. It is a downtown. And you may have to walk two blocks or three blocks. And that can be tough on people. But there is a vibrancy that comes with that. And I think we have to be mindful. We do want to have it be a well-rounded place. And we'll just watch as it grows. But I think the important thing for all of us is it really is a place to come and enjoy and also to do business. And it'll be much more pleasurable than it has been.
And while we're speaking about downtown, Fletcher McCusker, head of the Rio Nuevo Board, said that maybe it's time for a name change. He's actually taken the step to have some of the legal people look into seeing what that would entail. And then, of course, that would bring up the obvious question, well, what would the new name be? And, well, do you think we need a new name change?
Well, as long as he doesn't take away the old Pueblo. Okay, I want to be really clear on that.
You got to draw the line somewhere.
You do. But
maybe he could call it the old Pueblo government.
But you know, I looked at that, and you know, and Fletcher has done a really good job. I mean, I think almost everyone in the city will say so, and certainly the people of the city, and that's a big change. The real victory would be if you were to say where people saw the name Rio Nuevo and associated good with it.
Yeah.
And I think that can happen. But, you know, what the name of it is, I will leave that up to Fletcher.
Perceptions do die hard, don't they?
They do.
Sarah, a quick question for the mayor before we take our first break on the Buckmaster Show.
One thing that the people have going – sticking with the downtown, that curve going up, for, you know exactly, we are smiling. You can't see that on the radio, but you're smiling.
Oh, yeah.
That coming up out of the overpass and then which lane am I in? Oh, no, I'm going to bonk into someone. How did that not get – I mean, everyone saw that coming. And so how is that going to be fixed?
What I call the worst design intersection in the United States.
Wow, that is cool. That's a list.
It is. One of the things that's going to be interesting, you talk about the streetcar and the challenge that come with it, and I quite honestly, I don't know why some people have not seen this coming. I think that driving in some places is going to become much harder. I think 4th Avenue is going to become much harder. And so I asked for, and you remember, Sarah, when I said I would love to see alternate traffic routes and possibly find an area where we can make a pedestrian area in downtown, and that would be the one area I was looking at. The response from staff was, and not entirely wrong, was, well, we need to do a traffic study. And I said, okay, I would like to have drawn it out on a napkin for them, but that's fine, and I understand we need professional guidance and expertise there. Let's get it done. I am now being told that traffic study, and we had to use PAG money to get it done, that will be done in December. And so, we're going to have to look at it, and we have to get that figured out before the streetcar is actually running.
Okay, we're going to take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show. When we come back, Matthew, who is a caller to the Buckmaster Show on the live line at 790-2040. So, Matthew, hold on, but your question is a good one. He has a question about I-11, especially in light of our discussion on Wednesday with the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez, talking about the preferred bypass route that the county is talking about. We'll find out what the mayor has to say about that when we return on the Friday edition of Buckmaster.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. 12:19. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. Sarah with the Arizona Daily Star and the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, our Friday Focus guest. As promised, here is Matthew, caller to the Buckmaster Show, who has a question for the mayor about the proposed what is being called I-11. Go ahead, Matthew.
First, Mr. Mayor, congratulations on the streetcar and the hard work that your staff and the city has done to bring it to fruition.
Thanks, Matthew.
I think it's a great segue to talk about the next major regional issue that will affect Tucson. Is the proposed I-11 corridor, Canamex. You recently attended and expressed your support, I believe, for the I-11. And correct me if I'm wrong. And my concern is, as you know, recently, one of our local nonprofits, Imagine Greater Tucson, had to move to an all-volunteer staff due to a funding shortfall. And they have been leading on regional planning and following that issue. What are your thoughts about the I-11, about, you know, how we can, you know, follow that subject? And the broader issues of how we make sure that we are on top of it. Thank you.
Matthew, great question. And there's a couple things we need to know about the I-11, and I'll give you a real short primer as I can. There is not a dollar from the federal government allocated to it. What the federal government has talked about is an interstate from Las Vegas down to just north of Phoenix. What all the people in Arizona came together on, I think we came together as a state, which is a good thing, is that don't stop it at Phoenix. We've got to get to the border. And so the issue that is in front of us as a community, and it is not fully decided, is what the state is looking at, because it's really state funds and federal funds, is do you run it from Phoenix towards Yuma, towards Douglas, or do you run it to Nogales, Sonora? As a community, I think we are agreed that we need to run it to Nogales, Sonora. And that's the only route, to me, that makes sense. So that is what we've come together on. And this is going to be years in the planning. Now, beyond that, okay, if we're going to run it to Nogales, Sonora, how do we get it there? And there is a proposal from the county administrator has put forward as a preliminary proposal to run it out through the Avra Valley. I have not, nor has anybody really decided where we should be on that, and it's going to be years of study. But the concern is, do you make Tucson a bypass city when you do that? And that needs to be studied. Another concern is on the county administrator's proposed route, 46% of it is at state trust land. And when we were at the hearing last week, a couple of people on the panel said, Mr. Huckleberry, you may need a constitutional amendment to acquire that state trust land. So where that road is going to go is very much in the air. There's questions about cost, and when we're dealing with the federal government, clearly we're going to want the best cost to get it. And so we're years in study, but what we need to stay as a community united on is that we need to get that road, however we get it, down to Nogales, Sonora, because that's going to be our trade route.
Okay, what about double decking?
I think we need to look at that.
Cost factor?
I understand that on the Arizona Department of Transportation website, and I suppose I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, is there are some figures that show that is costs $1 billion. We're only talking the billions. Whereas on some of those bypass routes, it's as much as $6 billion. And my guess about the federal government over the next several decades is whatever costs less will have a more chance for reality. So there's all sorts of issues that need to be looked at there. But I will tell you one thing, and Mr. Huckleberry has pointed out, the amount of traffic that is anticipated increasing on the I-19 and the I-10 through Tucson is going to require a capacity change for those roads.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Well, I can just tell you, driving I-19, the traffic, it's already noticeably, just with the people down there, it would be quite a busy pathway if we had that kind of trade route opened up. I wanted to ask about your trip to, it's been a little while now, but to Mexico.
Yeah.
And your trade efforts with Mexico. Could you talk a bit about where things stand now? I know there were some promising signs on the Mexican side about wanting to work together, things that weren't hadn't been done before, that you might expect the governor to do that isn't being done. What's the latest?
Well, our trip, we went down a little over a year ago, and at that time the trip was, and went with Mayor Stanton from Phoenix, and at that time the trip was, Arizona is not what you read about in the paper and is not certain leadership. We are welcoming and we want to work together. I think over the last year, year and a half, we've gotten that message across. I know that I saw where there's a delegation from the state legislature going down now, which is hopefully a good thing. This time, the trip was very much about, and we met with the secretaries of these major departments and the Speaker of the House, what is your ask? How do we next go forward? And while we were down there, the commitment to build out what is the I-15, which is from Guaymas to Nogales, Sonora, was made by the Mexican government a $300 billion infrastructure program, and which is why, just what we were talking mm-hmm. about, getting the road, mm-hmm. we can't have the road end at Nogales, Sonora. And so we're seeing the commitment on the Mexican government, and they've already built out to San Diego, Tijuana. They've already built out to Matamoros, Laredo. And they are now seeing the Canamex is their last great trade route, really driven by the Guaymas port, which is either going to double or triple in size. And so we have arranged to schedule continuously meetings with the Mexican officials over the next 6 months, and you'll see those coming, where we actually bring secretaries from the Mexican government to Tucson. And the whole idea is to make this a logistics center, make this a transportation center, make this a place where the supply chain for those multiple manufacturing plants in northern New Mexico can be located.
Okay, 12:26 on the Buckmaster Show. The City Pension Initiative has officially made the ballot. Tucson voters will decide the fate of the city's pension system. In a couple of words, Mayor, why should people... first of all, why is this a big deal?
Well, it is a big deal because as our more city employees retire and we're not adding employees, our government structures all across the country have reduced by 20%, it is getting more and more difficult to presently fund the programs. And municipalities all over the country are looking at ways to deal with this. And if it were easy, somebody would have figured out and we'd all be doing it. This particular initiative is not the answer. And on its face, it looks benign, but the bottom line is that it is basically shutting off the old program, stopping funding for the old employees from new employees, pension contributions, and requiring our general fund, which pays for our police, pays for our fire, pays for our road, to fund the pensions. We have calculated that next year, if this were to pass in the first year, it would cost the city of Tucson taxpayers $24 million that would otherwise be directed to police, fire, and roads. So I have committed to work with our civil service folks and work with our public safety folks to look for solutions, but not meat axe solutions that really don't help anybody.
Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star.
A quick question about a story that my colleague Kathleen Allen had in the Star about over the Sunday about public art.
Yeah.
And it's the Rattlesnake Bridge. Yep. It's the tile murals. What is being they're in danger of just getting too far to repair. What is the city going to do about this?
Sarah, it's a good question. I think Kathleen bringing it – sometimes the role of the newspaper, particularly with government newspapers, sometimes there's a tension. My look at it is sometimes the role of it is issues are brought to our attention. We've got to start addressing them. And I think that article will do that. I think part of what we're going to have to look at is some of that 1% money that may otherwise be allocated for new projects get reallocated to maintenance of existing projects, not quite – unlike our parks, where we're underparked, we'd like more parks, but we're going to be in a position where we have to take care of the parks we have. Here, we're going to have to take care of the public art projects that we have. So we'll be looking at that.
In the coming weeks, we hope to have Daryl Cole, the city's transportation director, here on our Friday Focus interview. He's doing, from what I understand, some very good things. He kind of lives this. It's his passion, isn't it?
We call him Dr. Pavement, and it's a good thing It's a good thing for the citizens of Tucson.
Mayor, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
You too. And again, always a pleasure. And anytime, Bill. I appreciate it.
Coming up on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, we thank the mayor and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star will stick around. Mari Hararis from the Tucson Weekly joins us for our Friday roundtable next.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. He's headed back home from the G20 summit in Russia, but President Obama's not going to have much time to rest up from his overseas trip. He plans an address to the nation on Tuesday night, in which he'll try to get support for a U.S. military strike on Syria. Former New England Patriots star Aaron Hernandez has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and other charges following his indictment in the killing of a friend who authorities say was shot 5 times. Authorities in northeastern Pennsylvania say that 2 men have been arrested in connection with the weekend shooting death of a 1-year-old boy in New York City, shot and killed in his stroller. Stocks higher on Wall Street, the Dow's up about 19 points, the NASDAQ ahead 9, and the S&P trading 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees.
Order up.
But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time now for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who talk about the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Mari Herreras, writer for the Tucson Weekly. If you have a question or comment, would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Sarah, I've already said welcome to you at the beginning of the show, and I now say, Mari, hello, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always good to see you. And, you know, we were talking about this thing, the pension, city pension measure, which is, to a lot of people, very confusing. I think when you have ballot measures, Mari, people tend to, if they don't really understand it, they kind of tend to say no. That's kind of been my experience.
I think that's what we've discussed in the past when we've looked a little bit more at ballot initiatives, that there is a tendency, I think, for voters to swing in that direction. And also, I think, you know, there's so much that goes with each election season that is there something going on that's bringing people out there. That tends to help initiatives. People tend not to go out just for the initiatives. So, you know, and see what, if there are other initiatives, you know, that's always an interesting thing to do.
I think there are a couple of other kind of initiatives on the ballot, but the one that is the marquee issue is the city pension measure. And there's going to be a lot of information in the coming weeks, pro and con, about that. We're going to hopefully do at least a half hour here on the program with the pro and con. But people can tend to get overwhelmed with numbers.
They can. And I thought the mayor was absolutely right when it's so easy to read the language of any initiative and think, oh, well, that makes sense. And then, but unless you get into the details and understand, you know, A leads to B, leads to C, leads to D, it's really easy to vote yes or no on something when you're actually voting. The way it's worded is tricky enough that you're voting the opposite way of what you think you're doing. So that's I just encourage everyone, is complicated and kind of snoozerific as it sometimes gets, really pay attention to the ballot measures and the propositions, because they make a big difference. I mean, changing mm-hmm. the city's pension system,
it may not
is
sound
huge.
Like the most, well, the sexiest subject, but I mean, it's really important.
Yes.
Mari, I wanted to talk a little bit about your an issue or two back with the Tucson Weekly, and this is our first opportunity to have you on the program since then. And we know that you cover TUSD, one of your beats at the Tucson Weekly. How do you think Superintendent Sanchez is doing, his first 2 months on the job? I'm going to ask you as a teacher. Well, like, if you were a teacher, what kind of grade would you give him?
You know, so far I've heard good things from teachers. I have heard some good things, but I think that there's also a feeling like that the jury's still out. You know, there's not anyone that's saying that, you know, all problems have been solved, and, you know, and we think this guy's was indeed the one to do it.
Is he keeping a rather low profile, would you say, or just kind of medium?
Medium profile. Yeah. He was at the MLK event over at Armory Park, and he spoke very well. I got a nice reaction from people in the crowd. You know, I think what we were thinking, feeling in the beginning was that there was a very kind of just an uncomfortable feeling dealing with press and stuff. And I understand from talking with newspaper folk over in the Odessa area that there was definitely that kind of a trend over there too, to not be as transparent when it came to dealing with the local media.
Managing, perhaps, the media.
Yes.
Sarah, what do you think about how he's doing so far?
Well, I think it's maybe for the district, it's a good thing that he's not all over the headlines and making
You're
decision.
A former education writer. Didn't you cover for the Star, the
yes,
education beat for kind of 2 or 3 years?
A long time, yeah. A long time.
Maybe long.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah, TUSD specifically for many years, and I still do, but from the editorial point of view. But I think one of the things that annoyed people about former Superintendent Stan Paz, like really former Superintendent Stan Paz, is that he would break news in the newspaper, which I thought was great, but he wouldn't tell his own people first. And so I think from a newspaper reporter's point of view, that's fabulous. But from an actual managing a giant organization, probably not the best managerial move. So I think any – and going back years with several former superintendents, they've all said, I had no idea what it was like when I, you know, took the job. I mean, how can you? No job is the way you think it's going to be from the outside. And so I hope he's keeping his mind open, his ears open, and really just sort of seeing what's what and not being too drawn into the giant web of connections and networks and all of that that can really get TUSD stuck.
Murray, your piece in the Weekly, excellent piece about the new leadership and direction of the YWCA. The new leader there really wants to kind of be a trailblazer, I think, as far as a nonprofit in this community.
Well, I think she's just also coming to terms with just nonprofit life in Tucson and other, as we see in lots of other parts of the country. The money's not being... It's free and loose, I guess, or although I come from a nonprofit background, and I can tell you I don't remember ever being free and loose. So, but there's definitely been some changes in funding for them and lots of other folks in town. And so what I think she's set to do is to come up with a different way, different model of running a nonprofit in Tucson.
And she's what created a – they're going to have – they have a cafe now?
They're going to, and I think that's kind of the idea, is to use that space in kind of a community center, you know, platform where you have a little cafe, a little coffee, food, and then have some programming in the typical nonprofit programming, and then also bring people in for concerts, and they have that nice courtyard and –
And her name is Kelly Fryer. She is the new YWCA Tucson Executive Director. And their organization, their headquarters on Bonita Street.
Yeah, that's Bonita, over, you know, one of my favorite Chinese restaurants in town, Dragon View.
Oh.
They should become a Buckmaster advertiser or Tucson Weekly advertiser, star advertiser, sure. But they're really good. They're awesome. So, yes, they're across the street from the Dragon View.
Top story of the week, certainly on everybody's mind in this country, what should we do about Syria? John McCain, Sarah, had a town hall meeting based on what I read in the Star. Most of the people were against Mr. McCain's views about that we needed to take military action in Syria. You had a column, your Thursday column, had to do with the widely publicized photo of John McCain during the hearing, the Senate hearing on Syria, playing poker with his little his application on his mobile device.
Yes, as someone said to me, Joker's wild, I guess. But yeah, it's – and I also had the thought that maybe if we could just give an iPhone with poker games on it to everyone in Congress, we could – they could just do that. Life would be better.
Not get us into a lot of trouble. They could all be playing games.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's – I mean, anyone who sat through
– Look, Rose put them up for us to
watch. The number of hearings and committee meetings and all the rest that goes with being in government can certainly sympathize with the tendency to just – I mean, it drones on. Everyone has to say something. And so, you know, you get a little bored. But what happened to the good old-fashioned doodle? And I think it's the appearance of it. I got a couple emails from people saying, well, obviously he knew what he was doing. He's already heard this. He doesn't need to hear it again. But it's the appearance of it. We're talking about life and death and war and bombing, and it's just really tacky, I think.
It's distasteful is what it really is.
Yeah, and it's cavalier.
Well, this whole Syria thing, I mean, yesterday there was a meeting specifically for intelligence briefing just for Congress, members of Congress, so that they could get the info, and maybe 24 of them showed up. And I think that in itself is kind of, you know, one of those things you wonder, well, what the thought is into this whole process to begin with. It's either playing poker or not even showing up for a briefing.
Well, I don't know, but everyone seems to have an opinion on Syria, and it just seems like the longer this goes on, the more difficult, if we are going to take military action, of kind of signaling our, speaking of poker hands,
right.
signaling our next, signaling our next move. You know, going back to education, the Ritchie Early Learning Center will be opening its doors on Tuesday. TUSD has a program that's geared toward Tucson three-year-olds from low-income families. Mari, is this the first of what will be other centers, or is this just a pilot project?
It's turned into a pilot. It went in that direction. It started off as Tucson's first charter school, district charter school. And then eventually, after many, many meetings, I mean, I've been privy to a few of those meetings and lots of notes from those meetings, and they've been going on since Ritchie closed, to figure out what to do in that community. It's the heart of the Pasqua Yaqui village, and it sat for a long time empty and blighted, and so it's taken a lot of work to get that building ready. But it also just where they were going to go. Was it going to be an early learning center and see how many kids came back and grow from there, or just stay as an early learning center? And that's what they decided to do. I don't know if – I think that's one of the plans, is to create more of centers like that, but that's not how the plan – that's not how we started with Ritchie. It was set to be a replacement school.
I would think that having these centers would be a very good idea, especially as we are trying to make this a more literate community.
Absolutely, yeah. Early childhood education is one of the best investments a community can make in terms of how it pays off long term. Because the sooner – I mean, I've worked with classroom teachers when I was reporting over at Walter Douglas, and I'm now just continuing to volunteer there, but in first grade, and we're working on letters and words and things like that, and it's just so obvious. And anyone who's been around little kids knows they're just little sponges, and it benefits them and it benefits us, because they're more likely to stay in school, they're more likely to graduate, they're more likely to go to college. In the long run, if we invest and our children early on. A lot of schools have early childhood programs around the Tucson area and a lot of districts. The Flowing Wells has a early childhood center, I believe, in addition to what schools have. So I think it's a great thing for the community, especially for kids who may not have access to everything that they might need at home. I don't think a community can go wrong by investing in early childhood education.
Are you still looking at the STAR for mentors, tutors for the Reading Seed program? How is that going?
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, with Mayor Rothschild and the Reading Seed program through the Literacy Connects, the STAR is partnering, and we're trying to help recruit 500 tutors, reading tutors, that go into specific schools, are trained, and make a commitment to work with kids in reading, because literacy is so important. They've been going just aces with getting numbers of people to sign up. The challenge now, from what I understand from talking to people, is that the funding donations, I think it was like $12,000, $13,000 that have come in so far. But with this great influx of tutors, volunteers who want to participate, there's a lot of funding needed. You got to pay for fingerprinting. There's a lot of costs that go along with that. So they're really encouraging people to make a financial donation, which is tax deductible, or it's a tax credit, so you can get it back on your Arizona taxes.
Is there also a charge, though, per school for the program itself? Or
I think some schools do pay to be part of it, like I think Fruchtendler does, which is in the Foothills area. But I honestly don't know about the others, which are in Sunnyside, I think some TUSD schools. So I just don't know the answer to that.
How can people join up?
You can go to readingseed.org, mm-hmm. I believe is the website. And there's links also on the Arizona Daily Star's poverty coverage. It's part of our poverty series.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star, and Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. And I want to do a shout out to a Star columnist, Tim Steller. I thought the piece Sunday was right on the money, and that was about threats to DM are real, but there's no need to panic. So
remain calm.
Remain calm. Yes, DM is very important, but I think that maybe some of the concern may be a little bit overblown at this point.
And it's really easy to take something like that and turn it into
a political issue.
A political issue.
Yeah, the timing of that is always interesting. But it's not the first time this discussion on DMs come up in other towns that have Air Force bases.
That's right.
You know, when it comes up, you have to grapple with it.
Okay, Mari and Sarah, I hope you both have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. You too.
Thanks a lot. We'll have Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist Matt Russell. That's coming up on the Friday edition of The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Are you ready for the weekend? I certainly am. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they are preparing for Pick-a-Mania. It's a festival of bluegrass, folk, roots, Americana music. It's a weekend's worth of free music in downtown Silver City, September 13th and 15th. That is coming up next weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun over in Silver City. Lots of great places to stay. It's only three and a half hours east of Tucson. Places like Bear Mountain Lodge, Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and Lake Roberts Motel. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and columnist, food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday. Nice to have you back in the saddle, Bill. It sounds like you had a great trip.
Oh, we did. We had some wonderful meals up in the Alberta and British Columbia area, including some of that Alberta steak, very lovely filet mignon from that area.
Meals always make the vacation for me. Surprise, surprise.
And Matt Russell, always ready for a happy hour. And, of course, it makes it even better when the happy hour is on a Friday.
Exactly. And, Bill, you know how much we love the Abbey for happy hour over there on Sunrise and Kolb. And today is a great day to lie date as they recently launched a new line of craft cocktails. Now, one of my favorite is their Lemon Thyme Bomb with citrus vodka, fresh lemon juice and raspberries, and a simple syrup that's infused with fresh thyme. Now, I say pair that up with some sweet corn hush puppies, and your weekend has officially begun. Happy hour at the Abbey is today from 4 to 6, and again from 8 to close. You've got to try some of these cocktails.
Well, the clock is ticking on that thyme bomb, isn't it? How about a milkshake? Always good with a burger.
Yeah, now, Bill, there's a five-year-old boy in town named Chase Locke who was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer. And when he said how much he loves the Butterfinger milkshakes at Zinburger, the restaurant decided to partner with the Locke family's charity by donating 100% of proceeds from all Butterfinger milkshake sales in September to this charity. So I think this is a great weekend for the community to converge on both Zinburger locations and order as many Butterfinger milkshakes as we could possibly handle, and of course grab a great burger while you're there this weekend and all month long at both Zinburger locations.
Well, I was talking earlier about a nice steak we had up in Alberta, Canada. We've got a great steakhouse here in town, don't we?
We certainly do. The PY Steakhouse at the Casino del Sol. Tomorrow night, they've got a great event, a three-course prefix dinner. Now, get this. Choose from a wedge salad or lobster chowder, a filet mignon or seared salmon, maybe chicken salt and boca, and finish with a chocolate lava cake or some creme brulee. Here comes the kicker, Bill. All for only $39.95 a person. This is truly one of the great steakhouses around, and Saturday's dinner is an amazing deal. Enjoy the PY Steakhouse tomorrow night.
You know, you mentioned I'm a traditionalist when it comes to food. Like, I like that, the lettuce wedge. Pour some Thousand Island over it, and you got me hooked there, Matt Russell.
I mean, that's a meal in itself, man.
A little bit about the column this week in Inside Tucson Business, Matt Russell.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people take special care to decide which fork to use for which entree here in town, depending on the plate, how the table is set. There's one restaurant in town that says, forget the flatware. In fact, they only use their hands when they eat at this restaurant. So you've got to pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business to find out where they have liberated you from eating using knives and forks at all.
Oh, I think I know the name of the restaurant, but I won't give it away so folks can go to Inside Tucson Business and read your column. Matt Russell, have a great weekend.
You too. Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. He'll have some very timely and interesting things to say about what the United States should do concerning Syria. That's coming up Monday on Buckmaster. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Hey, Culligan, thank you very much. Better water, pure and simple. We thank you for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show here on KVOI. John's on from 3 to 5. Then tomorrow morning, the expert talk begins with our expert gardener, Phil Cedar. His show comes on at 7 a.m. and really starts a weekend's worth of expert talk weekend programming on KVOI. Monday morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my lovely and talented producer couldn't have a better person on the other side of the glass. Her name is Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.